is another day. Will I get through without breaking down? Haven't seen the sun since you've been gone. Like my heart, I lost it when you left me, and it can't be found. How can I go on? Baby, I've been living on memories of you and me. All the love we made, all those tender nights and those endless days, they're all here inside. Baby, chase my clouds away. I'd give anything to see the sun again. Only you can stop these tears from falling. I can't face another day. Baby, can you stop? Can you stop the rain? Oh, everywhere I go, I feel you there, following my footsteps like a shadow of my broken heart. Sometimes it's a pair of passing eyes, or it's just the way someone is talking. There you are. Am I all alone? Don't you ever wake up and reach for me where I used to be? Is there any chance I just can't? Just for me and you, baby, can you stop the rain from falling? Won't you chase my clouds away? I'd give anything to see the sun again. Only you can stop these tears from falling. I can't face another day, baby, can. Can you stop the rain? Whoa, whoa, if you are here for only one night, baby, I know you remember. 'Cause loving you once was a time enough. I know we can make it together, together. Can you stop the rain? How can I live without you, baby?
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here, can you stop the rain, Mr. Peebo Bryson? I don't really want it to stop, but just thought it would be a nice thing to play, and rain is welcome here. Anyway, so many things to talk about, and I wanted to share with some of you that way back there was a caller that called in. We were discussing the green slime and other things about food and consumption and the right to know. And there was a discussion about Arby's. And I've, on numerous occasions, I had been meaning to share with you this situation and what was going on. And I, what I didn't do was that, didn't follow up. I did make a visit to Arby's. There was a discussion where a caller called in and said that Arby's actually uses a some ground up meat product that then they put it molded and put it in a block, and then so you're not really getting I guess whatever they sell, the roast beef, or I don't know what you call it. But I stopped in and actually spoke to a manager, and the manager did in fact tell me that and showed me a bag that yes, it was a molded product. Comes in about a 10-pound bag, and that they take it and then they put it in the slice and trim it up as if it's regular roast beef or whatever their specialty is. So anyway, I didn't want to not mention that and go and get that up and running and follow up on it, because you're so nice to call in and talk about it. So anyway, that was just a follow-up. And another thing that is going on here, I talked about the boating division, or harbors, let's call them harbors division, and the DLNR. And in the DLNR, there was a Wesley Choi, who we broke a story way back, and he was embezzling or defrauding people of the state by diverting money to himself and to a business that he had set up, and was able to divert money and take money away from the state coffers. And what he did was he was able to do that, and he actually did in fact go, and he went to jail, and he was sentenced to 10 years. And initially he was given the opportunity to pay back a certain amount of money, and then he would be allowed to serve 18 months, I think. Well, he couldn't meet that, and he was able to go before the judge, and the judge sentenced him to 10 years. Now, that's excitement. That's, excuse me, what we really need now is the people that run the shop. We need them to go before a judge and pay their dues. And, you know, if they were able to do that, if we can get the little fish, then it should be easy now to get the big fish, because you can't operate like this Choi guy did without supervisors knowing it. And if they didn't know it, that's, I believe, is a breach of trust anyway, that we pay them handsomely to do their jobs. And so how is it that this one individual? And the other problem there is that there are some untouchables there. Now, in many circles, Mr. Choi didn't do this alone. He wasn't doing it by himself. Others, his supervisors knew it, his immediate supervisors knew it. And then there is some talk that some of the people, especially one of them, is not, they're not going to investigate them because of their relatives have political ties. And that is just not fair. And there should be a complete investigation of this matter. And to follow up, as I told you, on Maui, there is the supervisor there for the boating and the harbors is working as a FTA at the airport. and taking large amounts of vacation time or sick time, and I don't know if they put a stop to it, but within the DLNR, there's a lot and lots of questionable activity. And again, back at the same doorsteps, again, you saw the historical preservation. The feds were threatened to take their monies and abandon their projects and what have you on the historical preservation office and the shenanigans going on there. And you know, as under Laura Thielen, it was supposed to be fixed, wasn't. And now the dragon has raised its head again. And once again, the feds are threatened and the historical preservation funds and the program is threatened. So how do we fix it? Now, I know that a great many of you out there got opinions on this, and you take the Kawahau Church. There's issues with the Ivy Kupuna there. The Historic Preservation Department is very reluctant and have foot dragging and just simply being carried by the wave. They're not standing up, not doing the things that they should do to protect the Kupuna Ivy or historical or archaeological sites. You go up to Kunia, there's issues up there. There's a new land development going on with agriculture, and there's Pohaku and various serious issues about archaeological sites and finds that are up there. They're not getting the protection. So how do we stand back and say Malama Ka'aina when, in fact, we are doing nothing? Absolutely nothing but going in circles. We don't see the real issues that goes on in this town. The union, for example, sent a letter to the DLNR, to Mr. Isla, and in that letter, the letter is threatening to take action to file grievance. As you know, I raise issues with this many times now with the acting director of law enforcement, the chief administrative law enforcement, Mr. Randy Awo, who was in the temporary position for a long time now, at least 2 years. And he was appointed by Laura Thielen. And keep that name in mind, with Laura Thielen. I mean, remember, she's actually going out to go out and try and become senator, which I told you about when she was in office, and there was some denial that she would not run for office, and I sent a letter asking that. Well, now we know that she was trying, like a fish trying to get upstream, trying to get into the office, and she wants to become a senator, as we had reported about 2 years ago. What's striking about that is that Laura Thielen has shown, and I'm talking in the vein of a DLNR activity, she also brought in Mr. Young, as you remember, Commander Young from the Coast Guard, left the position open for a long time to accommodate this man so that he could get the highest pay and work, but then he abandoned ship without her knowledge. And so this is the importance that is placed on our natural resources, our historical sites, and our archaeological sites, and all of those things are put, I don't know if they've been assigned a role or what level of importance, but I can tell you in other states, and within the federal government, there's great plans and NEPAs and all of those things that work to protect. And they give money and have given money to the state here. So Thielen failed in that. If you recall, there was a water issue on Maui. She failed in that. And then she appointed Awo. This just is one of these things now. And Awo was able to fly back and forth to Maui on weekends, which the state DLNR would pay for that, and he was getting monies to stay here, per diem, to stay here during the week. Now, this was a temporary acting position, and so this letter that I told you about the union, writing to Mr. Isla, and I want to make sure that I don't put all of the burden in Isla's lap. He didn't bring our woe on. He is just keeping our woe on. So I don't know which is more problematic, or if he is to be held accountable for all or part. So to be fair, we'll start with the date his arrival. And so Thielen set the stage, brought this gentleman in, our woe in, who has a background in prison guard. And as I told you, the question is, does he even have graduated from a police academy? But under him, there would be many people there out there to protect the natural resources that he administrate, that he oversee. And what I'm going to do is share with you the new position, for the permanent position of the chief of administrator of the law enforcement, DOCARE, Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. You should have a skilled, a trained person in there, not just good in managing, because a person who understands the natural resources and the needs and the unique approach that it is required in protecting these, it is hard to say to the average taxpayer that, unless they really got to see it, that a person could get in a truck or a car or a boat and go out to sea in the boat, let's say, and just sit there and do nothing. It's hard to understand that is part of the job, because you want eyes and ears out there and about, looking around, not every minute writing a citation. But just being there gives a sense of that there is something to be protected, and there's an importance placed on it and its protection and these natural resources. So when the people see that, they then believe that there's a reason for having the laws, and it complements having the officer just sitting there or just driving around and patrolling, flying the flag, so to speak, is worth it. But if you don't have a person whose skill or as an administrator to know the value of just having warm-blooded bodies out and about in the woods, on the ocean, at the beach, wherever. And I don't mean on their second job. Now, let's get that straight. There's a lot of game wardens out there that should be fired and fried, because they're double-dipping, they're lazy. But there are some that are very, very good, and they have adopted an attitude. Those that care have adopted an attitude that they will go through hell and back for you and to protect the public's interest. And there's a great many of them that want to go to hell and back and take your cash and run with it. So you need an administrator that can see through all of that and understand when a person say, I got a call last night that a guy was throwing a net, and he frequently does this in this bay, Kawalo Basin or wherever, and the season is closed. It's hard to explain to a citizen that going out there and just sitting and watching for these people is worthwhile. So you need an administrator to know that to protect the resources, you have to employ certain tactics and do things. But if you don't have a skilled administrator and understand the uniqueness that is brought about with just the nature of the species, certain species are only found during certain times of the year. They're in different forms and small fry or whatever that people chase, and then they grow up and they become another means of food and what have you. So lobster seasons open, close, so you want to make sure that you have game wardens there. So what if you have an administrator who does not understand that? What if you have an administrator who does not understand that it is important to get the body armor, or as some people call them, bulletproof vests, and issue to the men. You need an administrator that has the background to draw on it. And I don't mean just being a policeman and then coming up and saying that I can manage the natural resources department here in law enforcement. You'd find a challenge. You would be challenged if you just brought along the police mindset alone. So you need some background in conservation and the importance of it, that while you can write in your dailies that you were doing surveillance, that seems like a waste of time. But when poachers come, there is no real time set for them. They work under the cover of darkness. They sneak. Poachers are like rats. If you ever hit the eyes of a rat with a flashlight, just accidentally shine the light in their eyes, you see this glow. And that's what poachers do. They know, and that game warden is sitting there looking for the glow, so to speak. But if you have an administrator who's never walked that walk or talked that talk, and so when the officer reports that he spent 8 hours just sitting around doing nothing in the eyes of the administrator may balk at that. Balk at the fact that this officer spent 8 hours, or this officer spent 30 hours in 1 week just sitting and watching. And I know that does not sound very bright, but that's what the uniqueness that is about being a game warden. That is something that you really need. You need that liberty. But in this state, there's a crippling effect because the administrators allow, from top to bottom, allow officers to work two jobs, and in many occasions, right now, currently, run two jobs. And so when an officer, if he gets off at 4:30, he's not going to bother to write a ticket at 3, because that might engage him and he won't make his second job. Or the use of their cars in second jobs. Or the use of their guns. See, some of the security departments, and I'm just throwing this out, security companies, for example, routinely at the airport, they need armed officers. Well, you need special permits and special training. So the game warden is attractive to some of these security companies because he's licensed by the state to carry a gun, so to speak. He's up to date. He has body armor. He has all of that. And he's trained in laws of search and seizure, rules of search and seizure, and evidence and what have you. So that officer is attractive. And security companies will gladly hire you. So the question comes, if this officer at 3:30 sees some activity that's seizing a net is required and taking the fish away and logging the evidence and securing the evidence, might run him into 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. It's going to affect his job. So this is where the administrator, having a background in law enforcement and what have you, would know these things and in turn not allow and tolerate such practices. But if you're not a skilled administrator in conservation and resource enforcement, then anything goes. And so what happens with this, I'm going to share with you recently, April 25th, 2012, the HGEA wrote a letter, and I know I have questions about the unions and their activities too, but I want to share a letter with you that someone shared with me, and some of the people there at DLNR shared this letter, and it's to Mr. Isla, who is the Department of Land and Natural Resources chairman or chairperson. Dear Mr. Isla, our conservation and resource enforcement members have expressed serious concerns about the process being used to fill the position of Chief Division of Conservation and Resources Enforcement. DOCARE within the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And the Hawaii Government Employees Association has confirmed that the position will be filled through an internal vacancy announcement due to close today. Therefore, it appears more than likely that the individual who is currently serving in that position through a temporary assignment, Mr. Randy Awo, will be selected as a permanent division chief. We are further aware that some of our CREO members or CREO members recently met with you personally to voice their categorical objection to this readily apparent move to make Mr. Awo the permanent DOCARE chief. If this indeed comes to pass, there will be continual conflict between DLNR and the Hawaii Government Employees Association. Now, as I shared with you long time ago, I raised this issue about AWO, and this is nothing new. But I'm pleased and to share this with you that we're on the money once again. That while externally I sit, but I'm able to sit back and see and hear and listen and be provided information along the way that was suggesting and confirming that things were not just right. So Laura Thielen brought them in, and they were upset about that. Supposedly you go 90 days in an acting capacity, and then you let someone else. But over at DLNR, the practice is bring in whoever you want as a friend or a political connection, slide them in and violate the work rules of the Greek union agreements and fair labor practices and what have you. And I don't know if you can really grasp this, but resources, the natural resources, they are left to fend for themselves. See, they've evolved. Like the octopus, he can change his colors and look like a rock and hide. But when it comes to mating and when they come into shallow waters to feed or what have you, and people are out there at nighttime with lights, and there are limits on them and what have you and prohibited areas. But if the game wardens are not there, and if you have a leader who is not skilled or has any biological background or the know-how or what have you, it basically leaves the natural resources, or some say the little critters, they're more than critters, but they're left to fend for themselves. And so they can't fend for themselves if someone brings along bleach at nighttime. They can't fend for themselves if someone take a dive tank, go down into the caves, into the rocks, and blow bubbles and surround it with nets and trap them. But if there's no game warden and there's no supervisor who understands that game wardens need to be out at nighttime or need to be out during people activity, on holidays especially. So if you don't have that, then this practice of keeping a friend on like AWO, there was Gary Moniz who did the same thing. They brought him in. He was working at Agriculture Department running the dog pound, and they ran him out of there because of some problems. And then he landed in the DLNR chief position. Same practice. Under Mike Wilson, who's now the judge, he too allowed such practices as the chairman of Land and Natural Resources. So anyway, it's a big ball of wax that you can't figure out, but we'll try to. So if you have a question or comment, you can call 524-1080. But you'll also get this at carol@carolcox.com if you like. And anyway, back to this letter. Now, they threaten that if this indeed comes to pass, there will be continual conflict between DLNR and the Hawaii Government Employees Association. Already, there have been many grievances filed against this individual. This is Mr. Awo, a number of which are going to arbitration. Because of his authoritarian management style and his proclivity to retaliate against anyone who disagrees with him, there is little doubt we will be filing grievances in the future. Grievances cause money to be spent, which the money comes from the taxpayers. So there are currently several different disciplinary grievances which are pending an arbitrator's decision.
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Can you turn your phone down or your radio down?
Let me tell you a comment, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
On feeling, I hope people out there realize that this woman is incapable of any position, as far as I'm concerned. Whatever she's been in, it just was a favoritism, appointment, and it's just, she's a disaster. Because I've had directly dealt with her, and she would never, ever respond to anything that I've ever said to her that was a blatant violation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's over their head, or they just don't care. And the other person, the guy Moniz,
mm-hmm.
he is the worst. I've dealt with him. I've pointed out to him direct violations and thievery of the state resources and stuff like that. And he goes, well, this and that and that and this. But he never did a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So both of them people, if anybody has any idea that they're capable for a position that they're in, they got another thing coming. They ought to just check up, like you're saying, Mr. Cox, that these people are just incompetent, totally and completely. It just makes me disgusted that their names are even mentioned. And she's running for office this one season. You know, if she wins, man, the people in this state are just unaware of what is really going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what kind of dealings have you had with DLNR, the enforcement man?
I directly reported to this Moniz guy water theft in the thousands and thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, that's what this hearsay. I go, this isn't hearsay. You just go check the facts and figures, and you're going to catch a criminal right in the act. I mean, there was a person that, on our water line in our valley, got in front of the meter and put it, you know, tapped in, and was, like, siphoning off, you know, really thousands. In a couple of years, it was stealing probably about $3,000 or $4,000 worth of water. You know what I mean? Just
right.
In front of the meter. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you put in front of it. And then with Miss Stealing, when she was the DNR head, I talked to her and tried to get to her because I was on the neighborhood board. I served for 2 years. Time after time, I just pounding the same thing about Waikani Valley, about these people, you know, illegally dumping over there and destroying the iron with the motorcycles in the stream, destroying the fish, you know, the opal, just all throwing on it in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And this was over their head, oh, we can't do anything about this and that. And I go, look, lady, you know, I never could ever directly talk to her, but so I talked to him directly three times, as a matter of fact, when I finally got through to him. And he, you know, was over his head too. You know, it might have been because these people that I was reporting, they might have known them, or they might have known their family, and then you want to disgrace them and stuff like that. So it just got to the point where anything to do with these two named people, if anybody has any idea that they think they're capable of, you know, doing anything for the state, they're misguided and just dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to put out the word that and then she's running for office again as student. As far as I'm concerned, the Democrats shouldn't let her run because she's one two-faced. She was appointed by Linda Lingle, another, you know, two-faced person. You know, these people don't realize what we're dealing with. You know, it's just beyond comprehension what these people would swaddle, you know,
mm-hmm.
the voters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if you serve it up, you know, you put a rock and put dough around it, you can get anybody to eat if it smells right. But so it's the politicians. They take them and the Democratic Party or whoever, they'll take the worst of the worst and put little A's on them and take some nice pictures. And in fact, I case in point, look at today's newspaper. There's a picture of Mufi Hanneman. I mean, it's showing you wouldn't know that he's failed at everything he's done as related to public management, potholes, sewage, you know, illegal dumping, trash issues. But boy, look at that you see that front page ad today for Hanneman?
Yeah, like today. I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? Just like we did, like I said, I've had direct dealings with Mufi and his little cohorts.
Right.
All right, definitely, Mr. Cox. Now, I mean, you know, a matter of fact, me and six other people, when he was running for city for the mayor, We faithfully, we were out there every day campaigning for him. Mm-hmm. And he only won by, what, 1,600 votes? Mm-hmm. And I'm on the Wynwood side, and so I figured I was part of getting him in office. And I am so disgusted in myself that I ever fell for him. Oh, he's a local guy. He's going to take care of the people. Man, that's the first thing he did in office was turn his back on everybody and just did what he wanted and for his friends. And I went, man, what a mistake I made. So now I'm real careful who I'm with. Politician.
Can you hold on for a minute? Let me get my technician to get your phone number and all that so that we can put that black mark. Don't let him call anymore. If he supported Mufi, no.
Yeah. Oh,
sure. So you're to blame for our woes.
Yeah, and I take it, too, because I tell everybody, man, I put that guy in office, you know. Because who faithfully out there holding them signs? Mufi for mayor, Mufi for mayor. That's when he beat Hanneman. Not Hanneman. What's his name? The guy that died.
Bainham. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, he would have been better. You know what I mean? Even though he was an outsider, he probably would have been better. You know what I mean? When I look back on it, anybody but Mufi, you know, because Mufi really messed up, you know, from day one on. He just changed colors. One day he was white, next day he was black, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? He just put us in such a hole in everything that he did, environmentally, but, you know, and with the city, especially with the dumping all the sewage directly into the alleyway. Man, they should have hung him for that.
You didn't see a pipe, but we're going to limit you now. Now we know you're responsible for all this. We're going to limit you one call per year.
Well, at least I fess up. When I'm doing a mistake, you know what I mean? Now, you know, whenever I talk to anybody, don't worry, I'm taking votes away from him now. That 1,800 that I gave him, the election, I tell you, everybody I talk to, Mookie, he is the worst thing that ever happened to the state. You know, be running as a congressman again. You know what I mean? I hope he gets defeated soundly and he never comes back onto the scene. Only from an appointment from when maybe Abercrombie will give him some job sweeping the street.
Yeah, well, remember Friday the 13th, Jason always popped up and you're saying you hope he soundly loses. He did lose as governor. And look, the guy has no shame. But anyway, imagine him going to Washington and hustling money for us, for our natural resources, these fragile and unique resources. Imagine that when he has dumped on it, spilled on it, lied on it, cheated on it, right, and diverted money from it, the natural resources. And we're going to send him up there to look out for our interests.
He's despicable. Anybody out there listen to what we're saying, please. Mufi is the worst thing that ever happened to us again. Mm-hmm. He could have already happened to us. He was already city, he was already this and that. You know what I mean? He's held offices when he never should have held an office.
Mm-hmm.
He's just totally incompetent.
Well, I think that in one of the nice things, if he did win, I think the big boys will eat him up there. Let him pull some shenanigans. I think if he did the same things here, I think he'd be in jail in about 6 months.
Well, I hope he gets defeated so soundly that, you know, The public realizes this guy is a loser. You know what I mean? He's crooked.
Mm-hmm.
He's an underhanded guy that there ever was one. You know what I mean? Two-faced. You ever could be an ad, like you said, in the paper today. As soon as I seen it, I went over and burned it in my fireplace.
Now you're going to have to call it and get it decontaminated.
Oh, yeah. Really, from the words that went up in the air, reading the smoke.
No, I think this is properly placed. I don't mean to be foul-mouthed about the person, Mufi Hanneman, but this is politics, and we know what he's done. See, that's the nice thing. I feel so comfortable speaking as I do about Mufi Hanneman because the record is there. I don't have to invent anything, manufacture anything.
I just hope when he goes to sleep at night, you know, he can live with it, you know, because I couldn't live with stuff that he's done. I mean, I don't think any person that has any shred of, you know, goodness in his heart for the people or for the state of Hawaii, that he could have done the stuff that this man has done to the people. It's disgusting in reality. I just hope he doesn't win. Everybody out there, do not vote for Mufi.
Yeah.
And, Mr. Cox, thank you for everything you've done and the time that you've invested and your money and everything else. You know, I wish you could run for some office, but you figure you're probably better as a voice outside of the system, because to get in that system, even if you squawk, you're not going to get nowhere, you know, because they're just going to, you know, shut the door on him, you know, let him talk to himself. But you're talking to people,
mm-hmm. Kyle.
So just remember that. We're out here, and we support you, all right?
All righty. Well, thank you.
Talk to you later.
All righty.
Bye.
But, you know, the listeners out there, they often people say run for office. When you get in office, you could be an honest man, and I think a great many of them start off. But the dynamics and what goes on there, you know, you have certain interests and you get caught up in, well, I'm going to introduce this bill and they'll help you and sponsor you and your bill and join in. And as soon as they want something, they turn around and say to you, well, you know, I won't hear this bill or I won't table this bill unless you vote for this or vote for that. So there is a lot of shenanigans that goes on in the state government and the legislation process, legislative process, and I don't want to get into it. But so that some of the detractors out there might ask, am I speaking from knowledge or just coming up with some information that out of you know where? But I was a game warden in California for many years, and there. Vast areas. I was one of the officers that patrolled the Condor Sanctuary, for example, the Marine Sanctuary, the Channel Islands. I was a patrol boat officer there off of the San Nicolas, Anacapa, Santa Rosa, San Miguel, and all of those areas down to the Mexican border. And so San Juan Capistrano, so and all of that and up north. So I'm speaking, and I watch what goes on in this state as it relates to the natural resources. They're more unique than anywhere in the rest of the world. Madagascar is rather unique, but we are up there as well. We have greater pressures because this place is attractive to people around the world, so there's always the challenge of developing and monitoring that and keeping it in check. There's always development concerns of hotels and consumption of the beach properties and all of that. These are critical areas in the way we treat the streams. So I'm not getting off subject, but I say to you to demonstrate that imagine sending a man or woman to Washington to represent us who would be speaking on behalf of the natural resources. And I must remind you that do you believe that a guy like Mufi Hanneman, who stood and fought the EPA, who stood there as cocky as you could be, I've never seen any chicken as cocky as this man. And I will tell you that what he has given us for examples is enough to frighten all of us. That he would not go to Congress, he would not go to Washington to seek and gather funds to accommodate or sponsor welfare and well-being of our natural resources. And that's a whole subject, and I challenge him to come here and talk with me about it, and I think it will be quite revealing. I'm slow at many things, but I'm really Akamai on those things. And anyway, getting back to this letter, and you know, like I told you, it might seem disjointed, but it's all relevant. Because of the authoritarian management style and his proclivity to retaliate against anyone who disagrees with him, there is little doubt we will be filing grievances in the future. There are currently several disciplinary grievances which are pending an arbitrator's decision. Additionally, there is a grievance proceeding to arbitration over Mr. Awo's refusal to provide unexpired body armor to and implement an appropriate body armor maintenance and renewal program for all DOCARE officers. This is an unacceptable failure on his part and places the health and safety of our members in jeopardy. Unions have their lingo and things, but this is a bona fide concern. Body armor, if some of you didn't know, or bulletproof vests, do expire. They're dated, and so they're rated and dated. Imagine an officer has a right to refuse to go out at night if he doesn't have the proper. It would be the equivalent of issuing him a gun with no bullets. Or issuing him a truck with no keys. It's that dumb to believe. I mean, generally, game wardens, if you look historically, they live, it's one of the most dangerous jobs that one can be subjected to or participate in. I know you see on TV the most dangerous job, but as a game warden, you're in the black of night by yourself. You're out there, and everyone you confront, everyone that's out there engaged and taking the resources has a weapon in hand. Every single one. They're going to have a knife. While a policeman, everyone he contacts does not have a weapon or a deadly weapon or something that can be used as a deadly weapon. Because, you know, getting a jaywalker who's just walking with shorts and slippers and T-shirt, that's he could go nuts on you. But the type of danger that exists in the line of work as a game warden. So you're out by yourself. You're back in the hills. You're out at sea. You're on some trail. And you have, in this town, you don't have the proper radio contact. And now your boss refuses to give you a bulletproof vest. And I use the term bulletproof vest because it's not all vests are rated. They're rated to a certain caliber, for example. You know, and or then you have to reinforce it with a steel plate or Kevlar or something. I don't know the newer things that have been sold. But imagine being placed in a car and told to go do your job. So you need an administrator who understands this, who knows that every single contact that you make in the field is a potentially can turn deadly. If there are, you get a call for pig hunters will have a gun or have a knife or both. And if you're by yourself, in a sense, and you're going to be meeting two or three people or maybe more in the dark of the night, in the back of the mountains, illegally hunting or what have you, if you down at the shoreline, you're going to find someone with a knife or a spear gun or a prong. So you get the idea. So this is serious business, and I don't think anybody would ask their own children to do this. I don't think anybody would ask their spouse or be so careful to accept this if it was their spouse going out to protect this. So this is all about give you an insight on what great importance, like Governor Neil Abercrombie, has placed on our natural resources. Because if the enforcement doesn't exist, and if you treat the enforcers as if they're a non-existing entity or second or third class citizens, then that is the grandest statement of all, and demonstrate what you care about the natural resources. And again, they are here in Hawaii, the resources are more fragile. We're on an island state. Our sewage flows to the ocean, our runoff from the roads, the non-point pollution, whether it's tire rubber, gasoline, oil, runs into the ocean. And so when people dump and spill and people go out and dig up plants and ship them out, and you see, that is one of the things that we really need to place importance on in selecting the law enforcement head of DLNR. This letter goes on, the DLNR has legal obligations to abide by Chapter 89, HRS, and our collective bargaining agreements negotiated with the state of Hawaii. If we continue to see a pattern of willful and deliberate contractual violations with DOCARE, we will give serious considerations to filing a prohibited practice complaint with the Hawaii Labor Relations Board. And 8913 HRS on the sections, it is prohibited practice for an employer to violate terms of the collective bargaining agreement or to interfere, restrain, or coerce any employee in the exercise of any right guaranteed under Chapter 89, including filing a grievance. Now, while it is your decision to select the DOCARE chief, please be advised that we strongly object to the incumbent being appointed on a permanent basis so that the position for these reasons, to that position for these reasons. So that, again, was an HGA letter written on April 25th. And I must share with you, I did provide a copy of this to all of the media, and they wouldn't touch it. So I don't know what happened. Maybe they don't see the picture, but we see it here. And if you think that, I would say at the current pace, a great many of species will be impacted to such a point that they will be extinct. Because we have in place the enforcement department. We have in place all of those things that are needed. But we squander it, and we let our leaders squander it. We allow our leaders to keep in place people that are unskilled, untrained. And so that tells you what happens when politicians say, I will do. Well, that's fine. Let's see what your hiring is, who you select, what you do. There's many of people. DLNR has some of the finest officers and educated people that you would ever get to know, but they don't get to do their job because the guys that are running it don't want them to do their job because it will impact their friends as cattle ranchers, developers, and all of that. So, you know, that is the problem that we have here. So I'll see you in the next hour if you'd like to. And again, Carol at carolcox.com is the website. And here at KWAI, you can call 524-1080 in the next hour, and we can talk more. Aloha.
Talk about the goodness of your heart. Now it seems a myth that never existed, and it leaves me feeling empty. With this hollow call, make it like it was, the way it used to be. When I hunger for your love constantly, make it like it was, it was easier for me. I know you're able to make it like it was.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Thank you. dreams and you change me, girl. A feeling so true.
Liberian girl, you know that you came and you changed my world. Just like in the movies.
Lovers in a scene, and she says, do you love me? And he says, so will his leak. I love you, Liberian girl.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI, 1080 a.m. So, for me, many of you, I see, they talk to me and they say, boy, hearing some of the things is depressing. But reality is that it's not depressing. It's actually a relief, because the more you know, the more you can deal with things. And hate to toss it out at you there, but anytime if you have questions about this kind of behavior, then with the different agencies, while I don't know everything, I know how to go and check resources. And if you have concerns, I'm going to be looking at a subject that someone shared, and I've mentioned about Show You some while going on here, and the type of the acid and what have you that is being used in processing or manufacturing Show You. And I just got a recent letter from someone sharing with me that there are concerns with the gluten, and when they process the wheat or the flour for making this, it generates starch, and they're using hydrochloric acid. So I'm going to look into it and contact the companies that are making the Show You and see if we can get them to share with us, and if not, we'll talk about it anyway. And I would say, if they don't talk to us, we'll tell what we know and just say, Show You right. So that's the way it is. We will show you, or show you. whatever. But we'll get to the bottom of it. And the concern was that a great bit of the process, there's starch being generated and it's being dumped down the drains and running into the ocean or to the sewage treatment plant and what have you. So we'll look into all of that, but I do appreciate all the tips and the information. And many of you say, boy, you know a lot. No, I don't. I know no more than you know, because you're the ones who's providing the information, and I just go and look at it and try to enlighten us all so that we can be better informed. And that's all it is about. Who you vote for is your business. But I would say, be careful, as I've always said in the show here, as to who you court and who you vote for, because ultimately that little single act of voting that you did will determine or decide what your future is, what your children's future is, and what the future of this state and this nation is. And if we just vote because he's a good guy, and you never met the good guy, you wouldn't even know him. He wouldn't say anything to you. And in fact, remember, the higher they go up, they're good guys, but you can't approach them because they got some big bodyguard. So what, you know, what kind of, what are they hiding from, or what are they protecting themselves from? But anyway, I know there's harm, but then there's more harm if they're out of touch. But speaking of giving ideas and what have you, I want to invite you to go to carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And I've posted some pictures that I took of the area in Pokai Bay, there on the Waianae coast. And this is just another example that I don't mind being the person who mumbles and groans and complains about politicians and all, because I think I can demonstrate that there are bona fide gripes. And so I don't want to be the old man who sits and moans and grumbles about every little thing and without having something to substantiate my concerns or demonstrate that there is problems. And yet, here's another one. If you go out there on that coast, and I encourage you to do that, because every car that goes out there, and you'll stop and buy and contribute to the economy out there, and it's not, you're more likely to get knocked in the head down in Waikiki or get screwed by some of the politicians than you would over there in Waianae. So those of you that claim that you don't go over there because it's a bad area, no, I think that we need to lift that veil, and it's borderline bigotry when the way we speak. We'll hurry to Waikiki and those areas and get ripped off blindly. But we were reluctant to go to Waianae, those areas. You could get your car broken into in Kailua, North Shore, all of those areas. So cut it out. You know, take your money and your cash over there to the west side, and they have police department over there as well, and it's a beautiful place. But anyway, what we do is I post it on the website at carolcox.com. And again, 524-1080 is the number here, 524-1080. This breakwater is in a state of disrepair, and it has been in such a state for a long time. And there is a great concern for the erosion that is occurring there. And as you know, we're moving sand back into Waikiki to make the beaches better and more attractive, and so the people don't sit their okolis on coral, you know. And that kind of thing is occurring. But over on the west side, there is this breakwater that over the years and as far back, numerous storms and heavy swells and seas have caused the rocks to break up and bust up the surface of the breakwater and break up huge gouges, sizes that you can put houses in. And they do nothing. So is this really contributing to the erosion there at the Heiau Park? There's a park there, and there's a Heiau. I don't know if many of you even know that there's a Heiau that sits there, and it's easily accessible. stunningly beautiful, the sight. When you look down and you see the turquoise green water, it takes you back. And when you see the sands and you see, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. You can stand there and see in the early mornings pods of dolphins right inshore. Beautiful. But the state and the federal government, the Army Corps of Engineers, and every other person that is responsible have turned their back on this area. And I'm not a lawyer, but I've heard the term used as attractive nuisance. And you see children there, and I've posted some of these pictures up there, and I don't know the number of children that have been injured while being attracted to this site to die from, and or to try and scamper over the rocks. But it's very dangerous. And you see no warning signs. It's just left there. The children are attracted. Thank God that many of them go there. And you see them diving off, I hope the state people don't rush there and go, well, now we got to close this down. No, either fix it or remove it. And so is this causing erosion along that coast? Is it contributing to the overall deterioration of our coastal lands or our beaches? I don't know, but jetties and piers do have a great influence on sand movement and erosion. And yet, you heard recently in the news they've been talking about jetties and piers and beaches eroding and what have you. But why you don't hear any concern or any cries about the west side? None. And you can find turtles there just floating and swimming freely. You can find the dolphins. You can go to Yokohama and go all up and down that coast. Spectacular. Beautiful sights. But again, this is one of those instances where neglect, and the government officials have turned their backs on this community once again, because you wouldn't do this in Kailua. You wouldn't dare do this in Kailua. In fact, you don't even want people interfered with their kayaks. If you interfere with their movement to the parks, because of the kayaks pulled across the street, there's an army of people and legislation and laws written, but not a single city councilman, not a single state representative, or anyone has gone to the west side and look at that state of disrepair of that breakwater. And I mean, it's dangerous. It's intriguing. It invites the children out there. It beckons them. And then they get caught off guard. Now, a lot of the kids are akamai to going out there, but even the best of the best can have an accident. And so this is, and you should look at some of the pictures, and some of the kids are attracted to it, and they're diving. Some of them are diving head first, and some of the first timers and what have you. And I know what you're going to say. Yeah, the parents, where are the parents? Well, I'll ask you that too in Kailua. I'll ask you that in Hawaii Kai. I'll ask you the same question. Where are the parents? They, too, have kids that jump off the rocks over there and dive and die and get killed and citizens. So let's be fair about this. But thinking of the impacts, the environmental impacts that is occurring on that west side, and many of you don't know this, but you go to Ko'olina and it's pristine. It's set up. The breakwaters are there, maintained. But on up the coast, you know, imagine being able to moor your boats there. And some boats are moored there. You could see yachts in some of the pictures. You can see sailboats, large sailboats in there. But imagine making it accessible in that area to the fishermen who could come in. But now there's problems because if you have the surges coming in, and some of it is right at water levels, that the water just flows in and flows out, bringing large amounts of sand in and depositing it. And I don't know what that's going to do, but the proper maintenance of that harbor is something is missing there really bad. And so hopefully the state, and I'm going to ask the state what is happening with this and the Army Corps of Engineers, because it is in state waters and navigable waters, and how can they walk away and just leave it sitting like that, you know? And if they were able to fix it, there it used to have pavement on top, a smooth surface, and all of that is broken and missing, and the gaping holes in it and what have you. But imagine now, I have actually gone out there on numerous occasions to photograph and look at the dolphins and turtles, and you walk out on this point at the end of the pier, and I kid you not, right here on this island on Oahu, you can see dolphins. Almost at times you can reach out and touch them as they come along the pier there, the breakwater, coming in and jumping and frolicking and what have you. It's a sight to behold, but you can't get to it. And then some fishermen and children dare to go out there, and they're exposed to a great danger. So anyway, hopefully, again, it raises a big question, is why there, and why the west side, how can things develop into such a state, and we have these agencies crying on the east side and the north side about preserving this, but the backside, and that's what they treat Waianae like, it's the backside, I guess. And they should be ashamed of themselves, the government entities that have allowed it to happen. And I kid you not, and I don't mean to upset anybody, but this whole thing speaks about the ugly side of the human spirit, that people get these jobs in management, and they let... I'm going to say, because it's Waianae and the people are there and the culture, their ancestry, I think that has a lot to play into it, because you don't do this at Black Point. You don't do it at Hawaii Kai, and call up and argue with me if you wish. But the proof is there. Rock is a rock. And out there, they've neglected rocks that are as large as some small cars or bigger than cars, just sitting there teetering, and when the water come, imagine. I was just there yesterday, and I was thinking, and about a year ago I was out there, and you're sitting there, and you listen when the waves come in, the surge comes in, you can hear these big boulders, and I mean big, grinding or rocking because of the water. Imagine a child being there, walking around, scampering down under the rocks in the shifting. And as the water moves in and all, it's actually the sand is undermined and what have you in the foundation. And imagine that, and if you don't believe this, one would have to ask then, how did the breakwater end up being broken anyway? Well, the forces of the water. So I was thinking yesterday, seeing the kids scampering around there and playing, and thinking, my God, what if just one child... Is there a two or three walking or going down into the hole to get up and come over the other side? The water moves this rock or shift. Imagine that tragedy. Wouldn't happen anywhere else, but it happens in Waianae. So, and that's, again, you know, I know some of us are weak of the stomach and calling things what they are here, but this one here stinks. And I don't know how much money has been allocated or how many efforts have been made to fix this problem. And if they feel that it shouldn't be there, then they should remove it, you know. But imagine what went on down at Alawai, you know, complaining that they needed money to fix the area, build the ramps, and do all of this. But over on Waianae side, you haven't heard a peek out of them, a peep at all, nothing. Not even a silent whisper, nothing. So how did we get to that point? You know, everything is beautification along the way where there's money. But in these communities, you still have an obligation to the people, their safety, their well-being, their enjoyment, like of the natural resources and the outdoors, like you do in any other part of the island or state. And you also have monies, or you can get grants from the federal government to fix this, attend to it, make it better. And but they don't. So something's wrong with this big picture. And you know, sand rose. We have the currents that flows northerly along the coast and what have you. And so these sands are deposited. And with these waves in there, when the waves come in, it's the hydraulic plucking, so to speak, that occur in this area. You have not a horseshoe, but maybe the shape of a boomerang. And the waves come in, and it's constantly impacting the park, the Heiau Park, and that area. And they have estimated over the years they've lost a substantial amount of soil to this. This wave action and the storms at this park. And so I would encourage you just for one day when it's cloudy down in Waikiki or cloudy in other places, go over to Waianae, go to Pokai Bay, and try to go early in the morning. You will see what reminds you of, this is how beautiful it is. The sand is clean. The people are nice, and when you stand there and look out, you'll see the old Hawaii. Remember, they don't have buildings along their coast. You don't have to be met by some security guard to tell you if you're not a patron of this hotel, you can't get in, or you have to walk way down to walk back into the... This, at Waianae, that coast, you're not obstructed. You have free access to walk and roam and do whatever, and it is absolutely beautiful. And it's saddening that that they have allowed it, they being the government entities, have allowed it to develop and evolve to this or degrade itself to this point. So anyway, that's what we have to look forward to. But again, I've posted some of the pictures up there, and you should, if you are interested, go there and look. And I think that just that alone, and I keep saying to you, the dolphins, I don't know many of you knew this, that there are pods of dolphins along that coast. And speaking of dolphins, you can go if along the way and you want to see a sight for sore eyes. I mean, absolutely spectacular. Here's a few points you can go out to. The Kahi Power Plant Park. The Kahi Power Park. As you pass Koalina, you can pull in over the railroad tracks and park there, and you can see on any given day, if you went about 9-ish, stayed a couple hours, take some water because it's open, you can park right there and sit on the edge or there in that little park, and you can see more than 100 dolphins at any time. Sometimes it's smaller. Coming within 50 yards of the shoreline. I've seen them actually come in when the water was higher and a little calmer, come in closer, but sometimes the boats chase them trying to put their tourists in involved. But you can actually see the spinner dolphins come in and jumping. And you just, you know, it's one of those things that'll tell you that's why you like Hawaii. That's why this place is so special. So if you go on down the road, and there are other sites you can do, and there's manta rays along the way at Kahi Power on that beach. And then you move on up to Pokai Bay, but along the way you can see turtles and all, and you can see the monk seals. And see, and they got areas over there they can haul out and rarely bothered. So you move on up to Pokai Bay, and it's beautiful, dolphins. And along any of those pockets or those coves, at any given day or time of the day, or try to go early, because if you, in the late evening, you're looking out into the sunset as it sets, and you're going to have silver, but you won't get to see those beautiful colors of the ocean. But you go and you'll see the turquoise, and there's nothing more beautiful than seeing a pod of dolphins jumping, just active in this turquoise water, this blue water. I mean, and it's free. That's what's nice about it. So, and you don't have to pay to park. That's the other thing about that side of the island, see. Downtown, they suck in your blood with parking meters and parking attendants and, you know, all of this. But on the west side, the place they warn you not to go because they'll steal from you, you can park for free just about anywhere. So it's worth going. And I hope that through my letters to the state and to the Army Corps of Engineers, we'll try to see, get some solution to the this issue with the, if nothing else, for the children's sake and at least do something. Because right now, if only one child is harmed or jumped down, break his neck or become paralyzed, then we all pay. And that's just not right, and it's not right for that family that would have to endure the harshness or the seriousness of the injuries that that child will experience or incur. So anyway, so much for that one, and I will, again, you can see pictures if you're interested. The next thing is that you know that at Waikele Caves there was the explosion, and there the families, I have a filing, and if you're interested, again, you can go to our website at carol@carolcox.com and see the actual complaint that was filed about the explosion. If you recall, five people, men died there, in the handling and processing of fireworks or storage of fireworks. Something went wrong. And that is, very sad. And as you may know, if some of you latecomers are with this issue, we've talked about it for a couple of years now on the various issues. And it is similar to what I've just talked about, the breakwater, the neglect, the failure to do due diligence, to do right for that community, and leaving it as just people to do things. We've pointed out that the city and county of Honolulu, for example, and I'm not stretching this, but if they had have applied the laws and enforced the laws, those five people may have still been here, because in doing so, this activity, as we've pointed out, it was inconsistent, as we've pointed out, that the city had concluded that this activity and these types of industrial uses for this area was not proper. But then they caved in because Mufi Hanneman, using David Tenoy and Henry Ng and the other gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, as directors of the Department of Planning and Permitting, failed to enforce the law, even though they were informed. They were responsible for the enforcement. They were responsible enforcing the laws and the Hawaii revised statutes and the land use issues there in that area. And that area, by the way, keep in mind now, is an open parks area, and we pointed that out and posted on the website. It should be a park for the public. That was one of the conditions. But justice has come and knocked on the door, and just because there's a complaint doesn't mean that these entities are guilty of anything. Who knows? But a civil suit was filed. But some of the defendants in this complaint, VSE Corporation, and at all times relevant here, and was corporation formed and existing under the laws of the state of Delaware. And there's another defendant, Thomas E. Blanchard and Associates. Richard Bratt, these are defendants. Defendant HIDC, Small Business Storage, LLC. Defendant Hawaiian Island Development. Defendant Hawaiian Island Homes Limited. Defendant Hawaiian Home Islands Commercial Limited. Defendant Ford Island Ventures. Now, remember, I talked to you about the Ford Island Ventures, and this is why I have great concerns about, as much as I had respect for Ed Case, it's unsettling, and I'm a little queasy. that he wrote the city. He intervened and was representing the city, not the city, but the one that owns the land, the Navy and others, and Fort Island Ventures, and wrote a letter saying that the Navy is exempt from all of this, Fort Island Ventures, because it's Navy property and sovereignty. I don't want to misspeak. I don't have the letter in front of me, but I've raised this issue before. And that he would represent that and then argue on behalf of the government or the Navy or Fort Island Ventures, that some entity, that they were exempt and that the rules don't apply. State law does not apply. City laws does not apply. When, in fact, you can see now, if we had laws in place, maybe, just maybe, these men would have been still alive on this earth, breathing and walking and talking. And I'm hoping, as nonsensical as it may sound, that the city be brought in too, kicking and screaming into this fold, to bring justice to this family, because David Tenoy, Henry Ng, and others, and Mufi Hanneman, and Corporation Council, who should have taken action, but instead they pulled the violation notice that I had filed against these entities over there, and because Ed Case was representing these companies or company or what have you that received the violation notice. So, again, while I sit and I see Ed as, you know, I think there's hope, but I just can't bring myself to just quickly dismiss that, because that was an extreme measure on his part, extreme step on his part to write daringly. And then still to date, he's never answered my questions on that. It was more of a sideswipe, or he'll, you know, obliquely answer me. But the reality is, and so that act alone, regardless of the other rhetoric that he talks or his campaign lines and what have you, I just can't digest that and swallow that one bit piece of that he has presented to us. And if I wish that he would speak openly about that, but he refuses to. This complaint, and again, unfortunately, I'm not going to read the entire thing for you. You'd probably throw the radio at me. But it brings tears to your eyes when you read this, that how it was done, and this, they are represented by Hasaka Yoshida and Cosgrove, and Jan Weinberg is also an attorney in representing this Pacific Guardian Center from Mackay Towers over there. There's a lot to be said and had in here, the types of things that they are being sued herein under fictitious names for the reason their true names and identities are unknown to plaintiffs, except they are connected in some manner with the above-named defendants and are agents, servants, employees, employers, blah, blah. So it goes on and it describes, this complaint described some of the activities on April 8, 2011 at about 8:54. For example, Joseph K. Lee was employed by Donaldson Enterprises and working in a storage unit located at 94990 Pakela Street, Waipahu, when an explosion and a fire occurred, causing injury and death to several of the occupants of a storage unit on the premises, including decedent. The storage unit was leased to Donaldson Enterprises, a company whose business was the transportation, storage, and disposal of fireworks and explosives. The storage unit and others similar to it at that address were operated by defendant HIDC, and HIDC in turn leased the premises located at this address, including the specific storage unit involved in the explosion of fire. Donaldson fire from defendant Ford Island Ventures. Ford Island Ventures, as you know, is the Hunt Fluor Corporation. Then Donaldson Enterprise was a vendor providing services to defendant VSE Corporation, valued at $150,000, to dispose of fireworks and other illegal explosives seized by the government from selling and distributors, sellers and distributors, illegally in possession of the fireworks and explosives. And then Thomas Blanchard had a subcontract with VSC for the management of seized and forfeited general property, including the transportation, storage, and disposal of fireworks and other illegal explosives seized by the government from sellers and distributors illegally in possession of fireworks and explosives. And they were also responsible for supervising the transportation, storage, and disposal of explosives and other illegal explosives by Donaldson Enterprise. And then there's more. The storage unit is located at approximately 250 feet long and 15 feet wide. It has double sealed doors with an entrance. Imagine being trapped into something like this, and imagine. Now, just because this is a complaint, they hadn't said that they were guilty. That's to come. This is a civil suit, and who knows. But just reading from this, and again, keep in mind, it's just the complaint. And stored inside the back of the storage unit were approximately 39 plastic wrap pallets of fireworks, 1,370 cartons containing 5,480 fireworks identified as VSC number 2009. Stored inside the front of the storage unit were approximately 17 55-gallon barrels, some of which contained diesel oil, and a mixture of other combustible explosive materials. I'm sharing this with you because some of you, they don't do the entire story there on TV or radio, and I just thought I would give you some greater insight what was occurring there as they're describing it. On information and belief, Kaylee and five employees were working in or about the storage unit dismantling fireworks by cutting open the casings of the fireworks with a cutting tool similar to scissors and mixing the gunpowder removed from the casings with the diesel fuel. The employees used a small pump to move the diesel fuel from full barrels of diesel fuel to barrels containing gunpowder. The mixture of diesel fuel and gunpowder was to be transported to the Cocoa Head shooting range or Schofield Barracks for disposal by burning of the mixture. The six employees originally were conducting their activities inside of the storage unit on the concrete pad, but moved inside due to rain. A fire explosion occurred while Justin Kaylee and three of the employees were inside the storage unit and one employee, Tanner Cottrell, outside the storage unit talking on a cell phone. And the sixth employee, Brian Cabalsi, was entering the front door of the storage unit where he was when the explosion occurred. As a result of the explosion, fire, smoke, Justin Kaylee died at the rear of the storage unit. The blast from the explosion was so great that debris was blown over 150 feet from the front doors of the storage unit. Three vehicles parked outside of the storage unit caught fire and burned from the intense heat and fire from the explosion. And these are the allegations of previous. The incident was caused by and thorough negligence and through negligence and or omissions of defendants and defendants' employees. But anyway, you know, we were over the months when this occurred, everyone was speculating what happened and what was going on. So there you have the incident described by the plaintiffs or the victims' families in clear and concise English. And it's there. And again, if you want to see the entire complaint, you can go to carol@carolcox.com and send me an email, or you can go just to the website at carol@carolcox.com and carolcox.com, I'm sorry, and see the entire complaint and get an idea. But it stirs this thought, and while it may sound or seems or appear that I'm the kind of guy that just like to complain about these things, I take it very serious because it is serious. It's important. When government fail, whether it's making sure the bus system runs properly and you being able to depend on that bus system to get to work or get to school or get to doctors or get to shopping, that's important. And when the government fails to do the right thing as the law is required, and when they allow and they turn their backs on the real issues, it sets up a stage, it sets up a condition, sure, to invite failure, sure, that and these failures may be deadly. In this case, I argue that if we had the proper policing and the enforcement of this activity, and absent of the interventions on the part of Ed Case, absent of the intervention on the part of Mufi Hanneman, absent of the intervention on the part of David Tenoy and the cover-up, all of this, Don Kitaoka at Corporation Council, who said that he never, and I have that on the website, by the way, you can read that, this battery of emails, who told me that he never received anything from Ed Case, but I was able to get that information and show that not only did he not receive, that he did receive the information, he was in exchange in emails with Ed Case. And Ed Case, this case wasn't before court. So the entire process demonstrates that when citizens like myself, we have bona fide complaints, we have real issues, real concerns, real insight, and yet when it falls on deaf ears because they're predisposed, they want to get it done, they want to get it done for the Hunts, they want to get it done for the Donaldsons, they want to get it done for the VSEs, they want to get it done for the Savios, you know, all of this. That is what our government is about in this town, folks, with deadly results. And so many of you, and I appreciate how you approach and you're factoring some of this in, but I don't want you to take what I do and dismiss it as, or you shouldn't, because I am just simply sounding the alarm to say to you, just like every first of the month, they run up the sirens to warn you. And I have, as I say, no dogs in this race, no in this hunt or anything. I just take what it is that people give me, like yourselves, and try and put it together to encourage the right thing to be done by the government. And if we can do that, that's policing ourselves, policing our government. And we should not have short memories. We should have the memory of an elephant, as they say, and not accept this practice of putting this group of people in. Mufi Hanneman didn't lose all because he was a poor politician. He lost because you, the voter, know what he's about. Ed Case didn't just lose because Dan Inouye thought he was out of place and ahead of his time or breaking the line. There are some things that people know about Case that just don't work. So when we see all of this, you know, a lot of us think that, oh, the voters have given up. No, I can tell you, point out many cases where the voters right on it, and they just need more information, and they can draw conclusions, and they won't fall for tricks and antics that, you know, today I keep going back, and I'm not going to pretend to be picking on Hanneman. I just think that if there's an example to be had, this is the perfect example. Where he as a, and Case in this case, didn't serve the people, they served the companies. Blake O'Shea serves the companies. Many of them. Sylvia Luke, she has a law firm, and when there's things come, I've spoken to people that work with and for her, where her law firm was writing legislation as consultant. This whole thing about public interest, public protection, they put it, it's down there on the lower levels of importance. They're not beholden to you as a taxpayer, as a citizen. Most of this, and in this case, Y. Kelly Caves 5 people died. And where were the agencies? As we know, the State Health Department, they were playing catch-up when it comes to this practice that was occurring over in Waikele. They weren't really standing there enforcing the law and the requirements because they, we don't want to make any trouble. We get paid and we're happy and healthy. OSHA, where is OSHA in this? Again, that is why we have to be smart at who we vote for, because the people we vote for have an influence on the people that get hired. They hire their friends. When friends come in getting a job, when they were just selling sports equipment and they become the deputy director of a certain division, then he brings no expertise. When you hire a person who's been serving as a branch chief but has no real law enforcement conservation experience to head the law enforcement division, the consequences, ultimately, sooner or later, if the officer either gets shot or get injured or shoots someone, does that person have the proper training? What does their operating manual say? They're special, all of that. So if you don't have the proper leadership to make sure all of these things in place, whether it's Waikele, whether it's DLNR, whether it's the historical preservation, whether it's the harbor police who were driving around with no guns because they had been trained on one type of gun and the person that was training wasn't certified, all of that, when it comes back, this is what picking a politician who has failed and then sending him up higher, the PETA principle, as they say. We need to be really conscious of that as voters. And I'm not talking right wing, left wing, or whatever. I'm just trying to tell you the basic facts. You get what you allow to occur. And so this coming election, I've been told by many people that they're going to be standing up and thinking. And they're not forgetting. One gentleman, I saw him at the original House of Pancakes over there in Waikamilo. And he came up to me. He goes, I just was invited to your show just to listen to it one time. And it's just a coincidence that I decided on my own to try and make a chart of who and what politicians are running and what they've done. And he said that he was a retired person from the mainland, but he's been over here like 9 or 10 years. And he said, just living here, watching how we vote, he said that drove him to keeping a record and being reminded. And he also chuckled and says, but I can't believe how forgiving the Hawaiian community is, or the people of Hawaii, how forgiving and short-sighted and narrow-minded and all of this. And go, no, they're not short-sighted and they're not narrow-minded. It's just that we get so much thrown at us that we're busy working to pay our taxes. And speaking of that, imagine with the rail, what's going to happen if the taxes, and not if the taxes go up, the taxes are going to go up. Because they don't have any money. You can't pull money from the sky. And if you could, I haven't seen a single politician that was smart enough or honest enough to, if he were to able to get money from the sky and bring it back and disclose the exact amount and use it properly. So we're stuck. And that's where we are with this thing. And but anyway, this gentleman said he won't forget because he's making a note. And I think that that's the solution to this whole broken system. We have control still. I was laughing the other day. If little kids on a school bus can hop up and be smart enough to get up and take control of a school bus that's going out of control because of the driver has a heart attack or passes out, then you and I can be smart enough and be bold enough to stand up and grab the steering wheel and apply the brakes and keep this thing from careening over a cliff. And that's where we are with this. We have our environment. We're still stuck with the sewage. We're still stuck with the potholes. We're still stuck with crime. And we're still stuck with the policemen not having adequate fundings to do all the things that they need. On and on. Senior citizen care and bus fares and what have you will be increased. So this is what it's all about. And it's not politics. It's about you and I. So anyway, I'll try to be back here next week with more. And I thank all of you for joining me. Thanks again. See you next week.
Oh, I wake up in the morning with my hair down in my eyes, and she says hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand, squeezes it, and says,
"How you feeling, Hans?"
And I look across her smiling lips that warm my heart and see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I gotta say, oh, God didn't make little green apples. It don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. God didn't make little green apples. It don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about her face aglow to ease my mind. Sometimes I call her up at home, knowing she's busy.
She's busy.
And ask she could get away and meet me and grab a bite to eat.
A bite to eat.
And she drops what she's doing and hurries down to meet me. And I'm always. Sits waiting patiently, smiles when she first sees me, cause she's made that way. If that's not loving me,
loving me,
all I gotta say,
gotta say,
God didn't make little green apples. It don't snow many apples when the winter comes.
Thank you for tuning in to The Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show, right here at KW.